Welcome back to the cabin. This is the Up North Podcast. I'm Pat Kreitlow, along with Kirk Bankstead and Sarah Yacoub. For more than 30 years, the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program has helped conserve approximately 650,000 natural acres in the state. The program pays landowners to preserve significant natural areas with an eye on protecting water quality and expanding opportunities for outdoor recreation. Unfortunately, two Republican legislators, Assembly Rep Calvin Callahan and State Senator Mary Felskowski, also of Tomahawk, think it should be easier for owners to remove property from the stewardship program and sell it. And so our guest, Charles Carlin, is going to be joining us in a second, Sarah, to tell us more about that.
And first, let's talk about our esteemed guest. Charles Carlin is Strategic Initiatives Director for Gathering Waters, an alliance that includes more than 40 land trusts around the state. His organization has been a strong voice against this legislation. Charles, can you tell us more about your organization and lay the groundwork for us on why the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program is so valuable to Wisconsin? And what's at stake if the bill from these GOP legislators were to become law?
Sure. Thanks so much for having me and the opportunity to chat with y'all. So like you mentioned, I work for Gathering Waters. We're Wisconsin's Alliance for Land Trusts. And a land trust is a little bit of a wonky term. And what that means, it's a nonprofit organization that works to conserve land. And we represent more than 40 nonprofit land trusts around the state of Wisconsin. These are really pragmatic, nonpartisan groups that work to protect all the places that make Wisconsin special. So our members are protecting more than 800 sites around the state of Wisconsin, really in all the major regions of the state. And the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program is a lot of what makes their work possible and also really drives land conservation and outdoor recreation infrastructure all around the state. So like you mentioned, the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program, it's been around for about 30 years. It provides funds not only for land acquisition, so buying land, putting it into conservation, but also what we call development of outdoor amenities. So if there's a bike path, a boat launch, a campground that you like to get out and enjoy, chances are Knowles Nelson is what made it happen. So in that 30 years, there's been something like 8,000 Knowles Nelson projects around the state. And it really touches sort of every aspect of our outdoor lives.
And let's talk about the importance of that and the balance that we're trying to strike here. And we talked about that notion of balance and proper management in our last segment with former DNR Secretary George Meyer as well, that the point of doing something like this is not that, you know, all 650,000 acres are going to be surrounded with barbed wire and can never be touched again. There's land that is, you know, conserved and left rather pristine. There is land that is where you're going to find, you know, you know bike paths, picnics, picnic areas, whatever the case may be, for recreational purposes. And yet there's still plenty of land out there where you can build a house or build a business or, you know, develop, basically. And so you can say that there's always a tug of war between, you know, people that want to, you know, knock everything down and develop it and those who want it to be perfectly pristine for all time. But Charles, you understand and maybe can tell our audience more about how there's room for everybody. There's room for all different types of uses without having to weaken one of our most vital conservation programs.
Yeah, that's correct. And I think it's important to put Wisconsin's public lands in context. You know, so Wisconsin has about 17 or 18% of our land in some kind of conservation. That's actually significantly less than our neighbors, Michigan and Minnesota. They're protecting upwards of about a quarter of their land. And of course, this pales in comparison to Western states, Utah, Idaho, Montana, where they're going to have more than two-thirds of their land as public land. And of course, a lot of our conserved and public land is what supports our forest products industry. And so we know that the forest products industry is a huge part of Wisconsin's heritage. It remains a big part of our economy today. And that's also land that provides access for hunting, fishing, for hiking, for getting out, and for camping. So when we're talking about conservation land, we're really talking about land that suits, you know, multiple purposes, multiple uses.
So, Charles, I got a question. So the we haven't, before I ask you the next question, I want to move to get us back to the threat that this bill poses. You've talked on a lot of different, I think the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel or W, you know, the public radio up in my neck of the woods up north in Rhinelander. What does this bill, I mean, what is weakening or allowing private landowners to get permission to sell off public land that's been, you know, that they've gotten grants to kind of co-purchase from the state and manage together? What is this bill? What's the threat? What is the underlying threat if this bill becomes law?
Yeah, so generally when either a nonprofit conservation organization or a local government receives a grant from the stewardship program to put land into conservation, that means that the state puts up half of the purchase price, and then charitable donors or local budget is going to fill in the other half of the purchase price. And whoever is buying that property, that nonprofit or that local government, they enter into a contract with the DNR that says, we're going to keep this land in conservation. We're going to manage it responsibly. We're not going to subdivide it. We're going to keep this in good shape for the public interest. Now, if something comes up and they want to transfer that land to somebody else, they want to sell that land, the law allows for that with the stipulation that whoever the new buyer is also signs a new contract with the DNR that says, we're going to keep managing this land responsibly. So what this legislation changes is it removes that safeguard. And so if your city or town wants to unload some conservation land or sell some parkland, all they have to do is tell the DNR, hey, we're going to sell this off. They repay the grant money, and then they can do whatever they want with it. They can sell it, they can subdivide it, they can build it up, and it's their choice. And so I think what the threat here is there are really three main points. The first one is that when somebody sells their land to put it into conservation, they're doing that with the understanding and really putting the trust into a conservation organization or a local government that says, hey, we're going to be good stewards of your land forever. The second part is that those purchases are supported by major philanthropic campaigns. So if a community comes together to support a place that's special, chances are you've got hundreds or thousands of people all chipping in their own money to help make it happen. And they're doing that with the expectation that this land is going to be conserved forever. So if you go back after the fact and say all these projects for the last 30 years, you can simply change your mind about it. You're really undermining that promise that's been made, that trust that people put in the program and put into their gifts. And then I think the third real danger that just, I think maybe it just wasn't thought through very well before introducing the legislation, is that it almost invites using conservation for real estate speculation. So you get a grant from the state of Wisconsin by a low interest loan, and then say your real estate market blows up, and all of a sudden those lake lots are really valuable. You could turn around, pull that land out of conservation, chop up the property, sell off the lake lots at a profit, and it creates this weird perverse incentive to use a state conservation fund as a sort of real estate speculation vehicle. And we don't think that anybody really intends that, but clearly that's a possibility that would be opened up here. And, you know, we want to make sure that we don't run that danger and that we're being good stewards of our lands.
So I can't imagine I'm the only one wondering who would do this, why they would do it. Can you help us, as our listeners, myself, understand why would legislators for some of the most beautiful, fragile, and protected areas of Wisconsin want to make it easier to sell off our public lands? I mean, don't most of their constituents live there because they like to hunt and fish and enjoy that land like the rest of us?
Yeah, like this is Callahan and Felskowski from Tomahawk, which is right south of Monaco, where I'm at. It's the same land. It's beautiful. There's lakes everywhere. There's forests everywhere. You know, everybody that lives there is there. They're not there because they want to work, you know, at Epic down in Madison and make $200,000 a year, you know, developing software. They're there because they love hunting, fishing, and, you know, playing in the woods.
Yeah, so my family has roots in Langlade County. I spend a ton of time up there, and I do so because it's such a beautiful place, because I can get out and I can enjoy the woods. You know, the story behind this bill, it's a little bit of a perfect storm coming together. And so what the bill's authors tell us is that Langlade County, back in 2017 or 2018, purchased a defunct Boy Scout camp near Post Lake. So that's kind of right outside the little town of Elko in Senator Felskowski's district. And they purchased that Boy Scout camp with the intention to develop it into a county park. Langlade County has another county park. They call it Veterans Memorial Park. It's awesome. It's got mountain bike trails, cross-country ski trails, a frisbee golf course, a campground, a swimming beach. And I think the vision was to do something similar. And then a few things happened. 2019, you have this major storm come through the Northwoods, blows down millions of trees, plows right through this Boy Scout camp. So you have a really expensive salvage operation. After that, the pulp market craters. We've all heard a lot about the couple of mills that have closed. That creates a financial crunch for a lot of these communities in northern Wisconsin. You pair that with the fact that the state, really over the last couple of decades, has put significant limits on the ability of local governments to raise any kind of significant revenue. And the county found themselves really, I think, in a sort of a money crunch. You then had one or two people on the county board who got it into their minds that this project was a bad idea, and perhaps that they could backfill part of a budget hole by selling off this Boy Scout camp. Now, we're hearing varying messages from folks in Langlade County. Some folks tell us that the county has shifted course. They're really excited now to develop the camp. Others tell us that they would still like the flexibility to sell off some parts of it. I think that this really underscores the fact that conservation lands need to be protected from short-term political whims and short-term fluctuations in economics. So just because you get one person on a county board that says, I want this to happen, we don't want that to undermine something that my kids and my grandkids could enjoy.
So Charles, we've heard that this lobbying group called the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, which has a lot of influence, just like Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce and the Tavern League, they have a lot of influence over the Republican majority legislature. They are the only group that's, and if I'm wrong, let me know, but seemingly they're the only group that supported this bill. And there's a ton of organizations, mostly your, like yours and like the bike group of Wisconsin, like so many, probably the campers group of Wisconsin, that said this is a crazy bill. It looks like the League of Municipalities, I mean, obviously they all want to expand their tax base. I mean, that's why municipalities in general, like, you know, everyone wants more taxes. The state government, the Republican led majority, has said we can't raise, we can't levy more property taxes up past like a certain percentage, like 1.5 or 3 or something like that. So local municipalities, because Republicans can't get more of a tax base to do the stuff they need to do. So now these same Republicans who are limiting the ability for municipals to raise taxes are listening to the League of Municipalities, who are telling them, We need more taxes, so let's sell off public
more
land.
More that you would do that taxation on because you can't raise the rate. Is that a part of it, Charles? That again, it's that trade-off of short-term gain of a tax base versus understanding that tourism and outdoor recreation is in of itself a tax base if it's bringing visitors and money into your community.
Yeah, I think that's a really important balance to weigh. You know, and without getting too far into the policy wonk weeds, you know, even if you pulled all the land out of conservation that you could with the stewardship program, the amount of revenue that you're going to create is really minimal, because the only way that a local government really increases that tax base is when houses get built on the land. So even bringing that land back into private ownership has really almost no meaningful impact on the tax base or local revenues. You know, by contrast, our outdoor recreation economy employs something like 168,000 people throughout the state. It's worth billions of dollars. You know, we, Kirk, you know better than any of the rest of us that the tourism economy is really what the Northwoods relies on. And so it's folks getting up there, being out on the trails, being in the campgrounds, being on the lakes that really drives a lot of the local economy. And of course, that takes a stable land base and a beautiful place that people actually want to go to make it happen.
Okay, so AB 852 is not scheduled for voting action at the moment, probably because of the strong reaction against it. Does this mean that there are potentially folks hashing out a compromise with the bill's authors to make selling off public land to voters more palatable? Or do you think this bill is just dead?
I don't think the bill is dead. I do think that the message came across loud and clear that you can't undermine landowner trust. You can't undermine the trust of all the donors that support these projects. So from both parties, the message is, if this bill is going to move forward, you have to amend it. And I think that what that means is that we're likely to see this issue come back next session or perhaps in the next budget. And so it's a really important conversation to continue to have, you know, to make sure that people are speaking up for Wisconsin's public lands. We were really impressed that we had something like more than 700 people wrote to this assembly committee, and that's unheard of. And really strong public support.
And we're so glad that you and others are staying on top of that. Charles Carlin from Gathering Waters, thank you so much for your expertise and your time. We sure appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for the opportunity. Have a great night.
You bet. We'll be back to wrap up the show in just a moment.